No, it's not good that we're done with 2020. Hopefully 2021 is better. Praise the Lord. Before we start, I just want to thank everyone for all the gifts and prayers and cards that I received. I'm not good at returning cards back, so I wanted to take this time to thank everyone for many gifts and many love that I received. This morning, can we turn our scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Verses 10 through 13. It's actually printed in your bulletin as well. Thank you. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Can you put the volume down a little more? Thank you. First Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 10 through 31. The sermon is going to focus on verse 26 through 31. This is the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by the Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you are baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human flesh might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that you are an awesome God. You're a God of salvation. You're a God who is powerful and mighty. You're God of redemption. You have purchased the people for yourself, for your glory and none other. And Lord, we come this morning to reflect on that, the fact that you are God of glory, that you deserve every glory from us, that only boast we have is in Christ. And Lord, draw us to you this morning. Lord, may you speak and may we listen humbly as your servants, as your people. May we honor Christ and Christ alone. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Can I hear me on the back?
It sounds
good. It's not? Sorry, I thought microphone was going a little too loud. So, I'm gonna step on some toes this morning, most likely, and you may not like me, and you may say, I want my cards back, so I'm not gonna give any back. But I want us to kind of think about New Year and kind of reflect on the past year as you're looking forward. And one thing that concerns me, or something that's been on my prayer lately, has been the response of the church regarding what is going on in our country. What is going on with the politics of it all? What is going on with the pandemic at all? I'm not here to critique anything of the politics or how the government or how we as society is doing anything. My hope is for us to really consider our own hearts in the midst of what we're facing. I want each and every one of us to think, after the sermon, don't think, oh, somebody needed to hear this, but rather, ah, I needed to hear that. That's how we want to come before our scriptures, that the Lord to break our hearts, that the Lord would humble us and call us to repentance, to turn away from our folly and turn to the wisdom of God. You see, the Corinthian church had one major issue that Paul is writing this letter. The major issue, that church was divided. That's the problem. The reason why Paul had to write a letter to the church was because there are people who are making parties, making factions, if I may say. If you look at verse 10, I appeal to you, chapter 1, verse 10, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. There were disagreements. People didn't agree. It was not a question of sin, what is right or wrong, but at this point, it's a question of opinion. You see, question of preferences, question of views. And Paul is saying, please understand, Paul is not saying, hey, you're wrong, you have wrong views, so you need to repent. You have a right view, therefore we need to stand with you. That's not what he says, right? He says, you must agree. The issue of the church was disagreement. And I think if we consider our 2020, it was not really about pandemic for me, as I ministered the gospel to you. My concern was the issue of your heart. My heart. And I think one of the things that marked last year, as I heard from many Christian leaders, as much as non-Christian secular people, all that, the world is very divided right now, isn't it? Politics is. Everyone is. I'm glad I don't do any social media, praise the Lord. But I hear there are a lot of things that are being said, a lot of things are being done. It's because everyone is in these disagreements, quarreling, fighting. I'm right, you're wrong. You're wrong and I'm right. And Paul is saying here, he saw in Corinthian church the same problem. So he appeals to them, verse 10, that there be no division among you, that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. And this was the problem they had, verse 12. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Can you imagine people saying to one another, I follow this guy, I follow this pastor. Who are they following? Certain people of standing. Not only were they following them, it's not just following celebrities or celebrity pastors or someone of high value and respect, which all of these men are. These men are men of great value and great virtue in our Christian faith. They're the one who planted these churches. They're the one who are the leaders of the church. And yet the people are claiming to their allegiance to these men. I'm with Cephas, Peter. I'm with Apollos. I'm with Paul. I'm with Christ. The issue was division. But you gotta understand, right? All of these men are preaching the same gospel. They're not preaching different gospels. They're preaching the same gospel. And yet they may have a different twist or different emphasis, different focus. And yet they're all presenting the gospel in all of its beauty and its multifaceted beauty. And yet here, the church was divided. And what was actually going on, essentially, if you look at chapter 3, Because chapter 2 and end of verse 1, end of chapter 1 and chapter 2, this whole theological dialogue, the large dialogue, actually is to make a point in chapter 3, which is actually addressing another term about the division of the church. And this is what he's saying, what these people are doing. This is what he says, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one, verse 21, boast in man. You see, what was really going on? They're boasting in man. And that created division. They're boasting not only in man, because he explains actually in chapter 1, he goes on this long dialogue about wisdom of God and wisdom of man, or foolishness of man. He says, foolishness of God is more wiser than the wisdom of man. What these men are really doing as they're boasting on man is not just man, but boasting in what their wisdom is holding. Now, he's referring to the world. Please understand. Verse 18 and following, chapter 1, he's referring to the world, their futile thinking. And he's saying, look at those heathens. They're going after this man and this man and this man. And they're following the philosophies of the day. And they're running wild left and right. And look at them. And he's using them as an example that they're following the wisdom of men. And then Paul turns around and says, you do not boast in man. He is saying, you are just like the world. And he's saying, that must not be. We can Christianize things, which we're very good at. And you can say, I'm right because I believe this is gospel, and you put that together with the world and all that. We can do all that. Or we can say, my view is more Christian than the other. That happens all the time, doesn't it? And Paul would say, no. And he said, that's what the world does. And he's pointing his finger at the church and says, that's what you're doing, Corinthian church. How much to think about that? It's a hard rebuke for me, for every one of us. Beloved people of God, God loves you too much for you to be divided. God is calling us to unity. God says, be in agreement, not on disagreement. All the things you focus on, wearing masks, not wearing a mask, government is doing this to us, doing that to us, or not, government is not doing enough, doing too much. I'm sorry. Our hope is not in the government or the policies, or what we do here, whether we wear a mask or not. I'll be honest with you, I don't care. But I care that we're divided. I care that we have drunken the wisdom of the age, and we allow their view of disagreement and quarreling and fighting, and we allow that to seep into the church, which is supposed to be a temple of God, a holy temple. That I'm concerned with. That I lose sleep over. That I cry over. That this ought not to be. This is not how we honor Christ. But Paul doesn't just end there. He does not just say, be in agreement. He actually says, what to agree on. And that's what we want to see this morning. Verse 26. He says, first thing he wants you to agree on, and first thing he wants you to focus on. First importance, verse 26, is this. For consider your calling, brothers. Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. it is God who called you. See, calling is not from me, is it? I didn't call myself to become a Christian, though some may consider that. And in some sense, true that we respond to the call. We are active in that way, aren't we? We're responding. But there is an effectual call that God calls you to himself. And he says, think on that one. Agree on that one. Did not God call you? You may say, well, I don't agree with his political point. I don't agree with his view on this, his view on that. So many opinions. But I know one thing. In the mind of God, when he chose you before the foundation of the world, it was one unison within the triune God, and he had one single mind to save you out of millions. And he called you. But please understand that you here is a plural, not a singular, not individual. We Americans love individualism. We love to be better than others by taking ourselves out of bootstraps, and we want to achieve something, and that's great. Innovation and freedom and all that. And yet, you see over and over and over, scripture is full of unifying theme that says, you as a church are one body. So consider your calling. Stop talking about, oh, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. That's what the world does. And it's okay. That's fine. Let them be. But us, when we're here to worship God, when you're here as a people of God, you have a calling, and God called you. And Paul says, think about it. Is that something to agree on? It's a great, awesome thing, right? Not only did God call me, God called you, and him and her and everyone, the young and old and everyone here. God called you and me, us together. Shall we not agree on that? Should we not focus on the beauty of the gospel that we're also very different? Here I am, Asian guy. And here we are in various backgrounds, different countries, different languages, different parts of life, different focus in our life, different struggles, yes. That's all true, isn't it? Different suffering, different relational issues. What's fascinating for me is as I hear each one's story, you guys all have a very beautiful but different story. Some more broken than the other, but all of us are suffering in this world because of sin and misery. Though some may seem like they got all together, but when we probe in and listen, there's pain and anguish there, isn't there? We're all suffering together. And one thing that unites us is that God has called you. That's what we need to focus on. God has called us. In verse 26, he continues on and he reminds us who we are before that calling. Or should I say, even in the midst of God's calling, he reminds us who we are. This is what he says. Not many of you, verse 26, were wise according to the world's worldly standard. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world. And everything that are not. You know what he's saying? He's reminding us, second thing we need to really agree on and think about and consider is how lowly you are. You know, in Reform understanding of humanity is what we call depravity, a total depravity. Not utter depravity, but total depravity. It means your total being is depraved and marked by corruption of sin. That your mind is, that your body is, that your soul is, that you have unwanted desires, you have desires that are sinful. That you make willful choices that are against God. That your mind is not perfect. You cannot think clear thoughts after God's own thoughts. That we are sinful through and through. Though may not be utterly as most wicked as we possibly can be because of God's grace upon us, his restraining hands. And yet, one thing we have to understand as reformed people, all the more than any other, is that we are totally depraved. It says, you are lowly.
and despise. That you're not wise as you think you are. I'll be honest with you, I feel very wise sometimes. Especially when I'm standing here. No, but what scripture is saying is no. Look who you are. My brothers and sisters, oh beloved people of God, know this. Who are you? Did you deserve God's calling in your life? Paul say no. Absolutely not. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. Think on that for a moment. You may have the most wonderful idea and you think you're so smart and genius. And you may be. You may be some genius that can solve all the world's problems. You may be the one who knows how to do things. And you may be very wise and many people come to you for counsel. But did you not know that you are foolish before God? Do you not know in all of your wisdom, in all of your experiences, in all of your accomplishments and achievements, God is saying, huh, really? You're going to boast in that? You're going to trust in that? What are they doing? They're following their own wisdom and they say, well, I'm with Cephas. I'm with Paul. I'm with this guy. And I follow his ideas and his ideas or that person's ideas. I tell you, I love John Calvin. But I'm not Calvinist. I'm Christian. I follow a lot of his views. I agree with a lot of points. But I'm Christian. I belong to Christ. Yes, I hold firmly to the Reformed faith. But I'm foremost belong to the Lord who died on the cross for me. Why? Because I couldn't save myself. No man, not even Paul could. And he says, focus on these things. You may disagree in so many other things, but one thing you must agree on is this, that God has called you even though you do not deserve God's grace. Think on that. Agree on that. Contemplate on that. Bring that to your heart and say, Lord, I do not deserve, but you call me out of this darkness into your marvelous light. And third and last point is this. Verse 30. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Verse 31. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know what is truly wrong with the world? Is that rather than giving glory to the Creator God, they worship the creatures. Romans chapter 1. They chose to worship the creatures rather than the Creator. They chose to worship the ideas of creation, philosophies of men, all the isms of this world. And he says, that's idolatry. That's foolish. You boast in men and their wisdom. Paul says, we must boast in one thing and one thing alone. Boast in the Lord. You know what truly bothers me about what all of this is going on? I don't have social media, but I read news. A lot of times people send me things. I'm like, I don't want to see any of this. This is so depressing. You know? I'm like, stop sending me. There's a reason why I don't have social media. But this pastor said this. This pastor said this. That pastor said this. And I'm getting all these things. I'm like, oh my goodness. Why are these men not preaching the gospel and boasting in the risen Lord, but give their pitiful opinions? Dividing the church. Shut up and preach the gospel. My goodness. Yes, I respect you. You're men of honor. Yes. I grew much from many of your teachings and your books. But there are times some people gotta just shut up. And you may think I'm really mean, but really, you have one job. It's to boast in Christ. Oh, beloved people of God, are you boasting in Christ alone? Because He has called you. Even when you're depraved and wicked, even though you deserve hell, that Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross, having no one else to boast, but boast in the Lord. He died for His own glory. See, so often we forget the beautiful word, soli Deo Gloria. You know, so often we talk so much about all the other solis, all the other only Christ, only the scriptures, only grace. We don't realize the most important thing of all is the glory to Christ and Him alone. Oh, church, who is your boast this morning? Oh, church, what are you boasting on? What are you holding on? What are you trusting on? Is it the Lord alone? Is it the one who crucified and died for you, laid down His life for you? Or is it pitiful things of this world? To whom are you giving your glory? To whom are you giving your allegiance? To whom? Oh, repent of our sins. May we turn to the Lord. May I turn to the Lord and say, Lord, You alone is worthy of worship. You alone is worthy of worship. You alone is worthy of worship. Oh, people of God, give glory to the Lord. Boast in Him and no other. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're such a wonderful God. And we're such a pitiful man. Lord, we're lousy worshipers. I am. Full of sin. But Lord, we come by the Spirit of risen Christ to worship You. And we ask that You turn us from ourselves. Turn us from this world and fix our eyes upon Christ. Oh, You deserve every glory. Oh, Lord, You deserve every drop of glory. Lord, squeeze out every glory out of us and every praise and every boast that Christ alone will be glorified. May the Lamb that which was slain, may He receive the reward of His sufferings. And Lord, as we bring our offering this morning, Lord, we bring it as a token of our boast in Christ, that we do not boast in our material things or our accomplishments and what we have earned with our own hands. But Lord, we know You have given us all. So we give back to You as a token. Lord, won't You take it and use it for Your glory, that Christ be honored, that Your name will be glorified. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the final hymn, let us rise and boast in God's great faithfulness. The hymn that is printed in your bulletin.